wanting to make note of the fact that once again, as was true last week, we are not going out over the airwaves, over the internet, for that matter. We aren't going out. And I'm really hoping that maybe someone out there has some suggestions for, has some suggestions for getting a space that can't be messed with, is there for us. There are very few resources for speaking with each other in a collective sense, and we need every one of them. We need them all. So hopefully we will begin figuring all that out. Last week I said, if we could but see what they're doing, these guys, Plato's tribe, see where they're going, that they have a vision, we could come to realize that that's not where we want to go, and that we need a vision of our own. There's power in a vision because it magnifies impact. And I've become convinced that seeing these guys, Plato's tribe, is also seeing class, because class is their work, their effects, how their vision is made manifest. And seeing this is how we leave the fog and find the courage to move on. All difficulties are but easy when they are known. These guys believe they're in a battle with a worldview as righteous as their own, challengers for the throne. And they don't want to fight on two fronts. And for a long time, scarcity, struggle for money, kept the cattle in line, as we had no righteous vision of our own. I believe that the perspective of China's would-be rulers is in most respects the same as Plato's tribe. The lens of class was crafted from the same slave roots, and they trained us to only see the world through it. So today, we're going to strain our eyes and try to see class and see that it's a crafted global reality. But as we do, let's keep in mind why global power as centered in the West can be accurately described as Plato's tribe. Let's keep in mind their vision, what moves them, where they're going. And who better to explain it than Karl Popper, who wrote The Open Society and Its Enemies, Volume 1, The Spell of Plato. And he wrote this as fascism unfolded around him, a seeming insanity that professed to have it on the best authority that they were doing what was best for the species. I'm quoting Popper at length, and in these quotes, he's often quoting Plato, because I think his words have much to say about what's called globalization today. We'll be using them to help us make sense of some articles from the Yale Center for the Study of Globalization, the Henry Kissinger quote we cited last week from his book on China, as well as to challenge Robert Schaefer, whose book, Red Ink, on Capitalism in China, we've been discussing in recent shows. Some of the questions we'll be asking: why is power so tolerant of dictatorship when it professes a reverent belief in democracy? Is it possible for us to see them trying to sculpt global stability? And to what extent do we unconsciously support power because we unconsciously believe in their project of stability globally? Plato's project, no change. So we refuse to look at the price we pay. What are they telling us about their plans for the category nation state? Because state, the category state, nation state, useful as it is for keeping the cattle corralled, also has its downsides. It can be defined as furthering liberation and tribe. And I believe that's worrying for a power that wants no competitors, wants its tribe ultimately to be last man standing. And lastly, would our prospects improve if Marxists would substitute as true the word control for that word class that they're taught to use?